Dr. Luis Sandoval is accomplished in the fields of mental health and spiritual warfare. A medical doctor, board certified in neurology, psychiatry, and family medicine, he is also a psychiatrist for the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange Ministry of Healing and Deliverance. Now, Dr. Luis Sandoval.
All right, folks. Well, welcome to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You're listening to the Dr. Sandoval Show. As always, a pleasure to be here with our listening audience and our viewing audience if you're watching a podcast. Hope everybody's having a great week. We've just come off of Divine Mercy Sunday. And, you know, it's so interesting to go through the Lenten season, get to the Triduum season, and then get through Easter. And then right after Easter, you know, sometimes people think, oh, that's it, we did Easter. But for us Catholics, we know we're going to do an octave and we're going to go all the way through to Divine Mercy Sunday. And Divine Mercy Sunday, so special, such a wonderful feast and such a wonderful remembrance that everything Jesus did was not for naught. In other words, everything Jesus did was geared towards a very specific goal of focusing on how much God loves us. That should make us feel pretty darn good about ourselves, I hope. And as we're feeling good about ourselves, why don't we start off with a prayer before we get into today's show? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, folks, always a pleasure to be here. Today's show, we're going to focus on borderline personality disorder. If you've never heard of it, I think I've done a I probably did a show on it maybe last year or so. But it's interesting to deal with personality disorders. Why pick this topic? Because we are coming off of Divine Mercy Sunday. And with personality disorders, one of the biggest challenges is that affects everybody around the person who's experiencing it. It obviously affects the person as well. But what we need to remember and what we need to kind of focus on a little bit with personality disorders, if you are dealing with one and you're aware of it, or if you are truly in either a relationship, have a family member or a friend who you suspect might be experiencing a personality disorder, that can be very, very challenging because it really does affect the relationships. One of the important things in our Catholic lives and our Catholic beliefs is that we truly believe that we exist in terms of a relationship. Even the Holy Trinity, you know, our God, which we come from, is three persons in one God. And there exists the relationship of the hierarchy of the Trinity. There exists the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is teaching us that from the beginning, we're going back to Him. We're created for Him. We're created to love Him and to be loved by Him. It really comes down to love. But all this occurs in the form of relationship. We see that for ourselves because what's the first sacrament that God instituted anyway? Was sacrament of marriage. We have the book of Genesis, in the beginning, Adam and Eve. And right away, He created man. And He said, it's not good for man to be alone. Let's have him create a relationship the way we have a relationship. You know, we're created in the image and likeness of God. We know that there's a relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God creates relationships for us. So whether it be a marriage relationship, whether it be a friend relationship, whether it be a father-son, daughter, family dynamic, we exist in relationships. But personality disorders will affect that. And it will affect it in a negative way because the disorders can be pretty intense. I've had people come up to me and ask me, Dr. Sandoval, what if I happen to be in a relationship? I got married. I was so happy. And now it turns out that I think my husband's a narcissist, or I think that my wife is histrionic, or I think, you know, that all these different things are going on. That can be very, very challenging in a marriage relationship. And at least in a marriage relationship, we can say, you know what? I got married for better or for worse. I realized, gosh, down the road, this wasn't the person I thought I was married to. But I made a promise to love them, and maybe I can help them out. Maybe we can go to therapy. Maybe we can do something to help improve our relationship. And in the process, the person might realize that some of the things that they do or their thought process might be toxic. And that can be pretty challenging to do because for the most part, if somebody is experiencing a personality disorder, they don't have insight, as we say. They can't imagine or they don't recognize that they could have a mental illness or be sick or be affecting other people. Kind of like we're in those phases. I know for myself, if I ever come down with a flu or a fever and my wife tells me, I think you're not doing well. And I'm like, I'm fine. And after a while, she's like, no, you're not fine. Take some, you know, get some medication, go to bed, something. And I'm trying to force being fine. After a while, I realize, no, I'm not fine. But that's insight. That's when you get to the point where you have to come to terms with the fact that something might not be working. If somebody's experiencing a personality disorder, for the most part, they don't reach that. They don't get that point of realizing, you know what, maybe I need to improve. Hopefully we can help them come to terms with that or make it a reality if that's what's going on. But it's not always the case, and that can be very challenging. One of the bigger challenges, though, I mean, if I am in a relationship with somebody, I can make choices. I can say, let's say it's a friend. I can say, well, I'm not going to be as friendly with this person, or I'm not going to hang out with this person as much, or, you know, I might not, this is a toxic relationship. I'll be kind to them. I'll be nice to them, but I don't know that I'm going to be able to hang out with them on a regular basis. And that's perfectly fair, because we also need to be fair to ourselves. It's not good for our own mental health, our own well-being, to be around people who might be toxic emotionally, who might put us down or make us feel less than ourselves. But here's a bigger challenge sometimes. What if you work with somebody? What if you're employed and, you know, one of your coworkers is experiencing personality disorders, or one of your boss? That could be even worse. If you have a boss with a personality disorder, that can be extremely, extremely challenging. Well, let's talk today in particular about borderline personality disorder. We made a show on narcissistic personality disorder not too long ago. And that can be challenging, because I think that when it comes to narcissism, we always imagine narcissism as the story goes of Narcissus, who used to look at his reflection in the water and fall in love with himself. We imagine that somebody with a narcissistic personality disorder is truly in love with themselves and loves themselves greatly and make things all about them. While the reality is, while they do make things all about them, it's true, it's not because they love themselves, it's because they have a very poor self-esteem. And because in order for them to have any sense of validation, any sense of value or importance, they rely on other people's opinions. They don't have an internal structure of resilience where they feel like, gosh, you know, maybe I do have some gifts. It's that humility of accepting God did create me with gifts. God did bless me with certain things, and I'm going to use that for the betterment of humanity. Usually if somebody has narcissism, it's more about, I got to get a degree, or I have to do this, or I'm not important. And without people's adulation, I don't matter much. So that we got to remember that there's a part of the person that's very insecure as a whole when it comes to narcissism. And the important thing to consider is that with personality disorders, we classify them in different ways. So narcissism is in the category of cluster B, as we call it. There's three clusters, clusters A, cluster B, and cluster C. And narcissism and borderline personality disorder are both in the cluster B criteria. So why is that important? Because they can be very similar and they can actually intertwine. And you're going to see if somebody does have narcissistic personality disorder, they might have elements of borderline personality disorder. But let's get into the criteria here first and let's define it. Let's see, we're talking about it, but let's talk about what in reality it is. Now, we remember that the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, was revised. So we used to have the DSM-4 criteria. And in 2011, the Psychiatry Association, the American Psychiatry Association, revised the DSM, as we call it, and now we have DSM-5. That's not to say that the criteria for DSM-4 don't apply as well. I like to look at both of them because I really believe that they kind of complement each other. Obviously, we follow it in terms of diagnostic criteria and treatment. We always try to do the most recent edition, which would be the DSM-5 for us. But we're going to compare a little bit about the DSM-4 too, because it really strikes the tone when you're getting into the treatment aspect of it. So let's talk about just in general personality disorder. I'm going to read off of the criteria here so that we understand what it is, and then we can explain it and talk about it a little bit. In terms of just personality disorders in general, the essential features of a personality disorder are impairments in personality, self and interpersonal functioning, and the presence of pathological personality traits. Okay, so first things is, remember, if you hear any of these criteria, and what I always like to tell anybody who's listening or anybody who I talk to about personality disorders is, don't be shocked. You know, we go through the criteria and you feel like, oh my gosh, that's me. But the reality is, it's because we all have a personality. We're all going to have some elements of these at one point or another in our lives. It doesn't mean that we have the disorder. The disorder is when it pervades the whole of functioning, when it really predominates our interpersonal disorders or in relationships. So the first thing is, there's a significant impairment in personality functioning manifested by one, it says impairments of self functioning, and this relates to identity. It says that there is a markedly impoverished, poorly developed, or unstable self-image. Now, this is where I say, okay, don't be surprised if you read this and you feel like, oh my gosh, Dr. Sandoval, I sometimes think I have a unstable self-image. I don't feel good about myself, because it says often associated with excessive self-criticism, chronic feelings of emptiness, dissociative states under stress. So let's talk about what that means, because this is important to consider. Borderline personality disorder can be very, very challenging. And if you've ever dealt with anybody like this, you're going to realize that they don't think very highly of themselves. When we come back from the break, we're going to break down a little bit more of what these symptoms are and what that means for us in terms of how we interact with these relationships and how we can help our loved ones. All right, folks, welcome back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You're listening to the Dr. Sandoval Show, and today we are talking about personality disorders, in particular, borderline personality disorder, and what does that mean for us in terms of if we have to live with somebody who's suffering from this, if we work with somebody who's suffering from this, what does it mean in terms of what kind of help can we get them? And, you know, do they even recognize that they have the disorder? For the most part, it's called anosognosia. That's a big word, anosognosia, which most people suffer from when they have a personality disorder, which means that they have no clue that this is happening. Anybody with a personality disorder will, for the most part, say, you know what? It's everybody else. It's not me. That's an important statement. It's a very powerful statement when we do that, because sometimes it's true. You know, we go through society, we're going through something, and if you're trying to live a Catholic lifestyle, sometimes you find yourself in a situation where you realize, gosh, if I'm going to follow my Catholic faith, if I'm going to fulfill my relationship with God, sometimes I do have to say, gosh, it's everybody else is wrong, and I just got to go to Holy Hour. That's what I got to do. Or I've got to pray, or whatever it is I need to do. You know, we go through that. But when it comes to somebody with borderline personality disorder, or personality disorders in general, they can be causing a lot of havoc and chaos, but they feel like it's everybody else, and they don't recognize that they are at the heart of this. The important thing about this is, how do we function in a relationship? And what we have to remember, and this is very important in life, is that we not only live in a relationship with other people, but we actually live in a relationship with ourselves. We can be our own harshest critic. And this is where somebody with borderline personality disorder is going to be a pretty harsh critic of themselves. I mean, we criticize ourselves all the time. I'm not doing this well. I woke up, I don't feel good. How come I always fail? I'm never good enough. How many times, those are what we call our automatic thoughts, you know, when you think about yourself, how much do you like yourself? And I'm not saying, again, not in a self-aggrandizement kind of way, but just more in a reality, everyday functioning. Do we even like ourselves? I wish I was taller. I wish I was shorter. How many times do we worry about things that are out of our control? Well, somebody with borderline personality disorder, in terms of their relationship with themselves, have a very harsh relationship with themselves. They really have an unstable self-image. So this is their identity. Let's go through the criteria again. As far as the identity, there's a markedly impoverished, poorly developed, or unstable self-image, which means that the person really doesn't like themselves to begin with. They're never going to tell you that, and they might not even recognize that they don't like themselves. But when it comes up in conversation, they have to come to terms with that. It's often associated with excessive self-criticism. Look at what I did wrong. I can't even do this right. I didn't even put on my shoe right. Look, my shoelaces are not even tied evenly. It's the smallest things that can actually lead to this harsh self-criticism. And there's chronic feelings of emptiness, dissociative states under stress. So the emptiness, we see that, and we're going to see how that feeling of emptiness is going to affect our relationships or their relationships with other people. But the dissociative states under stress is a very key function. A lot of times when people do suffer from borderline personality disorders, they will create havoc and they will accuse everybody else of things. These are the kind of people who, if you look at this person the wrong way, they will assume that that's already an abuse and you've ruined their life. And then they will go and blame you to the boss that you've done something terrible. And for whatever reason, the boss is going to believe them because they're so in hysterics. And it can cause a lot of problems that way where you say, I don't even know what I did. But that person interpreted it in a way that they felt slighted, or as the common terms, they felt triggered, or they felt whatever was going on with their emotions. The chronic feelings of emptiness can cause that. But here's the key: dissociative states under stress, which means that if they can get very angry, they can start screaming, they can start yelling, they can throw things at you, they can try to hurt you. And then afterwards, when the moment is done, they'll say, I don't even know what happened. I blacked out. I was so upset. I blacked out. I don't know what happened. I didn't mean anything that I did, or, you know, and there's going to be all the excuses, or even just the realization of them saying, you know, I don't know what happened there. And I don't remember any of that. So I'm not responsible for that. It can go in different ways. So that can be very, very challenging. The other thing, as far as their relationship with themselves, is self-direction. So this is the other criteria: instability in goals, aspirations, values, or career plans. Somebody who suffers from borderline personality disorder might be jumping from idea to idea, have different goals. One week decide that they are going to create music and take up an instrument. The next week decide that they're going to be a travel agent and learn different languages. The next week decide that they are going to rescue animals and do so. They could just jump from topic to topic and not even realize what it is that they're doing. Okay, so that's in terms of relationship to themselves, and that can be a big challenge. But what is it? This is going to affect their relationships with everybody else around them, right? So how we treat ourselves, how we think of ourselves, is always going to affect how we react or interact with those around us. So what happens in terms of their, what we call interpersonal functioning or interpersonal relationships? What is it that somebody with borderline personality disorder is going to need? They can be actually very exciting people at times, believe it or not. It sounds, we've been saying things very negatively, or that they have this negative self-image, but for those around them, their lack of stability in their goals and changing ideas, actually sometimes people initially will say, wow, that person's really excited, and that person, they have so many different ideas. They're so cool. I love their energy. That can happen initially. But here's what happens. As far as their interpersonal functioning, somebody with borderline personality disorder, when it comes to the topic of empathy, and empathy really means, can I feel for the person around me, such as ideas of compassion? Can I understand suffering? Can I understand that other people have needs and wants and feelings? For somebody with borderline personality disorder, their criteria note that they have a compromised ability to recognize the feelings and needs of others associated with interpersonal hypersensitivity. So what does that mean? It's fancy. Let's read it again. Compromised ability to recognize the feelings and needs of others associated with interpersonal hypersensitivity. And it also says perceptions of others selectively biased towards negative attributes or vulnerabilities. What really all this means is this: when they're in a relationship, they don't recognize if somebody around them needs something, feels bad, feels good, or what their situation is. They will make everything about them. And so if you're upset, if you're sad, and you need something and you're in a vulnerable situation, they will all of a sudden get upset and they will feel like you've insulted them, you slighted them, because they don't like how they're feeling, and you're responsible for their emotions and their feelings. This can be very, very challenging in a relationship. Imagine if you are married and you're married to somebody who unfortunately has borderline personality disorder, and you come to them and you tell them about how bad your day was, and they get mad and they say, why are you telling me all this? You're making me feel upset. Are you trying to get me to solve your problems? What's wrong with you? You see me as bad. I'm the problem. And all of a sudden it becomes about them and you are the culprit for it. And all you were trying to do was share your bad day. You were trying to look for somebody for a shoulder to cry on. You were looking for somebody to listen to you a little bit and have some compassion towards you. But you notice the person's going to switch it around and they don't have that level of empathy. Now, do we do this? Absolutely. I mean, this is, again, as human beings, this could be one of our faults where, you know, we're not always sensitive to other people's needs and we're not always sensitive to what other people are experiencing. The difference is, do I catch myself? Can I go back and say, gosh, you know, I was kind of short with people. I didn't really have patience for somebody. And I recognize that. And I'm going to do an examination of conscience. I might go to confession about it. That shows that I have insight, that I want to improve, and that I'm going to try to be more empathetic towards people and make that a goal. Somebody with borderline personality disorder doesn't even have that capacity. They wouldn't even be able to say, gosh, how can I make this a goal for myself? Because in their mind, they're fine. There was absolutely nothing wrong with what they did. It was your fault that you slighted their feelings. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because you say, I don't even know how I hurt you because I was trying to tell you about I had a bad day. I was trying to tell you how my boss got mad at me, or I was trying to tell you how I really messed up at work and, you know, it wasn't good. And the person with borderline personality disorder might say, you think that's bad? You think, you know, what are you trying to do here? I don't like how you're treating me. I don't like how you're talking to me. And you say, what are you talking about? So that's very, very common in borderline personality disorder. As far as intimacy, so empathy, and then it leads to intimacy. There's, you know, this is pretty smart the way it's laid out here. This is the new criteria. Remember, this is from DSM-5. As far as intimacy, this is very true. This is what their interpersonal functioning is like. It would have intense, unstable, and conflicted close relationships marked by mistrust, neediness, and anxious preoccupation with real or imagined abandonment. Let's just start with that. This is very true. People with borderline personality disorders, for the most part, will get into relationships very, very quickly. They're intense. They're unstable. It's, you know, you hear about this, or sometimes you see it in the movies. And it can happen. I mean, this can happen to people too. Let's say that you got out of a relationship and, you know, they say, oh, you're on the rebound because you were emotionally hurt, and people get into another relationship right away and it's intense and, you know, whatnot. But that was situational. You can look back and say, I shouldn't have gotten into that relationship because I had just broken up with somebody. And now, you know, I got into this relationship right away and I needed to feel loved. I needed something. And notice that you look back on that and you can say, yeah, this is why I did that. Somebody with borderline personality disorder will get into intense relationships all the time. They meet somebody, they think they're great, they're in love with them within 20 minutes. Oh my gosh, they're the best person ever. I can't imagine my life without them. I want to go take a trip with them right now. Okay, so that can happen. And then all of a sudden the next day, no, you know what? They weren't that interesting. I met somebody new. I met somebody new. And within half an hour, I knew they were my soulmate. I knew they were the person I wanted to be with the rest of my life. And that's all that matters. And then a week later, no, I met somebody different. So this can happen. And it's not always, doesn't always happen, have to happen that fast, but it just goes to show you how quickly the relationship can be made, how on a whim, if you will, the relationship can become very intense, and you can have this imagined situation where you are totally in love and you found your soulmate. Now, that all of a sudden creates, notice that there's a flip side, because you found the soulmate, but this is marked by mistrust, neediness, and an anxious preoccupation with real or imagined abandonment. You're in such an intense relationship that you need to know where this person is all the time. You need to know who they're talking to. You need to know if they were talking to somebody else, what were you doing? Were you trying to date somebody else? Were you cheating on me? And you say, no, I was asking the grocery store attendant where the apples were. Well, why'd you have to talk to them? Why'd you talk to them for that long? Why did you not pay attention to me? Notice that there's a mistrust, a neediness, and this is the biggest fear, any kind of abandonment, real or imagined. So let's say that the relationship's not working out. You started dating somebody, they kind of have this pattern of personality, and you say, I don't think this is going to work out for me. You go and you tell them, you know what, I think you're really nice and you're a great person. I think we've developed a great friendship. I just don't feel this relationship moving forward in a romantic kind of way. And, you know, it was great, but I wish you luck in life. This is the kind of person, if they suffer from borderline personality disorder, don't be surprised if they tell you, okay, that's it. I'm going to kill myself. If you break up with me, I'm going to kill myself. And you're responsible for that. Remember, you're always responsible for their feelings. And that's a very hard way to live. But this preoccupation with real or imagined abandonment. Are you going to break up with me? Versus if you actually are breaking up with them, they cannot be alone. They cannot feel like they're not important. They cannot feel like they're not in a relationship. They cannot feel like they're not connected, even though they're miserable and they don't trust the relationship, but they need to feel connected. So it's a contradictory term. But at the same time, they are going to go to the extremes and they're going to say, if you break up with me, that's it. I am going to end my life, putting you in a really tight, tight situation. If we come back from the break, we're going to talk about more of these traits and how to deal with them. All right, folks, well, welcome back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You are listening to the Dr. Sandoval Show. Today, we are talking about borderline personality disorder. How does this affect our relationships? How can we possibly help somebody out? And really, more than anything else, as Catholics, how does this affect our goal towards making it to heaven? Because truth be told, you know, the whole, when we get to that judgment table and Jesus says, did you find me? Did you see me in the least of these people? As somebody who needed water, did you give them a drink? Somebody who was hungry, did you give them food? You know, it can be really hard to justify or to try to understand why there might be some relationships that we should probably not be involved with, or you should probably not engage with if possible. And how does that mean that I still love this person in as Jesus would want me to love them? We're going to get to that towards the in the last segment of the show. But first, we have to recognize what are the traits of borderline personality disorder. And when before the break, we were talking about how the interpersonal functioning of somebody with borderline personality disorder is in relationships. We're talking about how, as far as an intimate relationship, it can be very, very challenging because the person who suffers from this personality disorder will be mistrustful of the relationship, will have extreme neediness and anxiousness and not want to be abandoned. While at the same time, it goes on to talk about intimacy, saying that close relationships are often viewed in extremes, which is very true, of idealization and devaluation, and alternating between over-involvement and withdrawal, which means that, you know, I don't trust you. I think that you were talking to somebody for too long. I think that you're going to cheat on me and I don't know what's going on there. So I'm not going to talk to you now. And I'm not going to talk to you for a week because you are all bad. But we are still in a relationship, but you are all bad. And after that week, you got to figure out how to make me happy. That's just kind of how it goes with borderline personality disorder. It can be very, very challenging. And they don't recognize that they might be in an extreme mode. Now, again, if you're in a dating relationship, it's a new relationship, you don't know the person that well, sometimes these things will come up. So sometimes some of these personalities will come out and we're not always proud of them after we recognize that we've done this. But again, do we have that recognition? If we do, that's a good thing because there's a chance for us to improve. Can't go to therapy if you don't feel like you need to improve. There's no sense in going to therapy because if the person says there's nothing I need to do differently, then what are we working on? You know, therapy is not a place for, you know, a lot of people say in those movies, they learn that there's an aha moment or things like that. And that's not the case with therapy. Otherwise, I mean, there's aha moments throughout the whole day for all of us. That doesn't mean that it's going to change our lives. The reality is I have to make a decision. This is what I want to do with my life, or this is how I want to be. And that's how we move forward. Okay, let's look at the personality traits that somebody who might be suffering from personality disorder exhibits. And we're going to look at their negative affectivity. We're going to look at their disinhibition. And we're going to look at antagonism. So these are some of the personality traits that will come out while they're going through this. So remember, the relationship with themselves, they're very insecure. They really have a lot of negative self-image. The relationship with others, there's no sense of intimacy, no compassion. And when they are in a relationship, it's all about them and it's either all good or all bad. As far as the personality traits that they exhibit, there's emotional liability, meaning that there's unstable emotional experiences and frequent mood changes. Emotions are very easily aroused, intense, and or out of proportion to the events or circumstances. So it's somebody who you're shopping with and, you know, they go into the candle aisle and they see some candles and they think that they're great. And I'm just using candles as an example. It doesn't have to be candles, but, and all of a sudden they just are in love with candles and they can't stop thinking about them. And they're going to talk about candles all day long. And this is what's going to be the source of their happiness in life. And they're going to open up a candle shop and you're like, where did that come from? So extremely unstable, extremely easily aroused and intense emotions, they do have anxiousness. So this is very, very common of people with borderline personality disorder. So intense feelings of nervousness, tenseness, or panic, often in reaction to interpersonal stresses, worry about the negative effects of past unpleasant experiences and future negative possibilities. They feel fearful, apprehensive, or threatened by uncertainty, and they have fears of falling apart or losing control. And this is true. This is why the sense of abandonment, the sense of everything's exciting, everything's great, but it usually comes from an underlying panic, an underlying anxiety, an underlying worry about life in general, really, more than anything else. But if you notice, if my anxieties, if let's say somebody is experiencing, let's say I feel anxious about everything, I'm worried about everything, I'm going to be affecting everybody around me because I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that, or I'm going to direct people as to what they should or shouldn't do based on my emotions. And my emotions might be out of proportion to the situation, but it doesn't matter because I think I'm right. And try to convince me otherwise, you're not going to be able to do that. And everybody else around me kind of has to change. And this is where somebody with personality disorder is going to affect everybody around them, but they don't recognize it. And they feel that they're in the right. They don't recognize that they are putting people off because they say, nope, that's how it is. And this is what you got to do. So there's emotional liability, we said, there's anxiousness. And then we had talked about this before, where we talked about fear of abandonment. One of the big personality traits here that comes out with borderline personality disorder is separation insecurity. Fears of rejection by and or separation from a significant other, associated with fears of excessive dependency and complete loss of autonomy. This is very important. There's that sense of abandonment, fear of being separate from somebody. And, you know, this happens to anybody, really. We see this from childhood. You know, if a kid is not with their parents, they are going to have an intense fear. If the parent leaves the room, they don't like that. If they're separated their first day of preschool, they'll start crying. That is normal for an infant, for a child, for a toddler, for somebody going to preschool, for somebody in kindergarten, for somebody even in elementary school, I'll give you that. Once we reach a certain stage of beyond adolescence, shall we say, we hope that there is a maturity, but we can experience this as adults as well. How many times are we, you know, breakups are not fun. If we break up in a relationship, how many times do people break up and they're saying, I love you, I hate you. And today's day and age, I didn't have this before, but text messaging, you know, how many text messages fly back and forth in the middle of a breakup, vacillating between, I can't believe you did this to me, you're the worst person in the world, and you were the only thing I cared about and loved, and now I'm hurt. You know, that's normal to go through these ups and downs, shall we say, intensities of starting relationships and ending relationships if you are in a dating relationship. For somebody with borderline personality disorder, we have to recognize that their level of fear, their insecurity with separation, especially from significant others, is associated with this excessive fear. Such an excessive fear of, and they have excessive dependency, like we were saying before the break, that if you try to break up with them, they will sometimes threaten and say, I am going to end my life. You can't break up with me because I am going to jump off a bridge. I'm going to end my life. And then you are responsible. Well, that's a pretty heavy burden. I know a lot of people stay in relationships because they don't want to be responsible for the other person ending their life. As a psychiatrist, of course, I will always tell somebody, do not end your life. Do not try to hurt yourself. If you feel that you might want to end your life, you can call 911. You can reach out to a therapist, reach out to a friend, tell somebody. Do not end your life. That's not what we do here. And in mental health, that's always one of our biggest concerns, is because we care about people, is, do you feel depressed? Do you feel like you want to hurt yourself? Do you feel like you want to end your life? Every conversation we have incorporates that in mental health. Well, imagine being in a relationship and somebody telling you that you're responsible for them living or dying. The truth is, you are not responsible for them living or dying. They're an adult. And we tell them, we hope you don't make that decision. This happens when somebody with borderline personality disorder, very common, they will go to the emergency department multiple times because their emotions are not stable, because they feel that they've been slighted, they feel scared, And they will come to the emergency department and say that they want to end their life. Well, we need to tease that out a little bit more. We need to talk to them and figure out, as a physician, as a treating physician, what is it that we're going to do? Let's put you in the hospital. Let's see how you're doing. We do have sometimes some people who, unfortunately, this is their pattern. And they come to the hospital, they get admitted, and then we discharge them because they're stable. And then they come back, and they come back, and then they go back and forth. After a while, we have to let them know, unfortunately, hospitalization does not seem to be a benefit to you because you don't improve even coming to the hospital. We understand that at times you might have intense feelings of hurting yourself, and we advise you not to. We hope that you don't, and we do want you to reach out for help. However, hospitalization might not be the answer for you in particular. And that's on a case-by-case basis. You know, so always, it's always, in doubt, go to the emergency department. You know, if your loved one is going to say that they're hurt themselves, try to get them to the emergency department, call 911, get them help. But don't be surprised if all of a sudden there is a pattern and they say, we do want you to get help. This is just, hospitalization might not be a treatment modality for you. Another personality trait is that they feel depressed. Frequent feelings of feeling down, miserable, and or hopeless. Difficulty recovering from such moods. Pessimism about the future. Pervasive shame. Feelings of inferior self-worth. Thoughts of suicide and suicidal behavior. So like I was saying, very common for somebody with borderline personality disorder to not only be depressed, but to jump to the idea of suicide or suicidal behavior. We've been talking about that in context of breaking up with relationships, but in reality, they can react that way for any reason. Something went bad at work, they didn't get the promotion, they got called out on something they might have done wrong, and right away their feelings are so intense, or the depression can be so intense, that for what might appear to be something slight on the outside for them, it's a matter of life or death. And they feel like they want to end their life more than anything else because they don't have a good sense of self-worth. What's the point? Why am I here? And they feel like there's no sense in moving forward. I'm just going to end my life because I'm no good to anybody. Now, I'm sure that we have all experienced that at points in our lives. Not that we want to end our life, but we might have experienced, gosh, I really don't want to exist right now. I wish if I were dead, I wouldn't have to deal with this. Very common, you know, I joke around with my college age patients and I tell them, you know, how many times when you're driving to school, to college, and you have a final, you say, gosh, if I got in a car accident right now, I wouldn't have to take this test that I don't feel prepared for. It's not that you want to die. It's that, you know, taking a test feels overwhelming and you'd rather not be in that situation. But for somebody with borderline personality disorder, that feeling is so intense, we never want to risk not listening to them or not helping them out. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the last few traits. And we're going to talk about what can we do to help somebody out who might be experiencing something as intense as borderline personality disorder. All right, folks. Well, welcome back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You are listening to the Dr. Sandoval Show. Today, we are talking about borderline personality disorder. What does this mean? What does it mean for us in terms of our relationships? And I can tell you, as a psychiatrist, probably one of the hardest personality disorders to treat, because a person can essentially function in society. The person can get a job. Somebody with borderline personality disorder can function for themselves. They can take care of themselves. They can have a good career. They can do, you know, anything anybody else can do. It's not going to necessarily keep them from doing anything, but it will keep them from having healthy relationships. And it might keep the person from being able to move forward in the workplace because they might be challenging to work with. And for everybody around them, they can easily cause havoc. Why? Well, we've already talked about some of the traits that they experience, but more importantly, and this is where we really focus on the consequences of having borderline personality disorder, is the trait of disinhibition. And what do I mean by that? Well, there's two big things, impulsivity and risk-taking, which for somebody with borderline personality disorder can be very, very dangerous. Now, somebody with borderline personality disorder sees things very black and white. Sometimes people are all good or all bad. Either they like you intensely and you are perfect and there's nothing that you can do that's wrong, or they really don't like somebody at all and there's nothing they can do to redeem themselves in their eyes. And that can be very challenging. Combine that with a sense of impulsivity and risk-taking, It can be, these are the things that we worry about. So with impulsivity, they act on the spur of the moment. We saw that in terms of relationships. Gosh, I met somebody, I love them. This is it. This is great. This is all I want to do the rest of my life. So they will act on the spur of the moment and in response to an immediate stimuli. So I just met this person and they're wonderful, or I love this car, I'm just going to buy it. Which, you know, sometimes makes us wonder, we have to evaluate, is there any element of mania here? They are acting on a momentary basis without a plan or consideration of the outcome. I'm just going to buy this car. How are you going to finance it? I don't know, but I'm just going to do it. They have difficulty establishing or following plans. So I bought the car. Okay, great. Now I want to return it. Well, now you can't, because there was a plan here in place. You bought it and now you're responsible for it and you can sell it. No, I just want to return it. It doesn't work that way. And then they have a sense of urgency and self-harming behavior under emotional distress. And this is where the impulsivity we talked about, you know, suicide is a big, is at the forefront for somebody with borderline personality disorder. That can be very challenging and scary, especially for those around them, because you never know when they might follow through on something like that. Sometimes to get somebody's attention, they might even say that they took a bunch of pills, or they might actually take a bunch of pills just to get attention. And they're saying, I don't want it in my life. I just wanted to get your attention. But with that impulsivity, that might not have been your goal, but you're definitely headed in that direction. And that's something that we want to be cautious of. The sense of urgency as self-harming behavior under emotional distress. It's challenging because, remember, anything can cause emotional distress. Anything can upset somebody with borderline personality disorder, and we don't always know what the triggers are. Once they're triggered in that way, once their emotions are turned on to a point where they feel like they are under distress, all of a sudden, things need to get fixed right away, make it right now. I can't feel this way, or I'm going to end my life. They can cut themselves sometimes because they're feeling so emotionally intense without even the thought of wanting to end their life. A lot of people sometimes will exhibit cutting behavior where they do it more than anything else to have a physical representation of pain to the emotional pain that they're experiencing. And this is something to remember, folks. These people, when they experience this, they truly are in pain. They don't necessarily know how to come out of the situation because, again, they don't recognize that it could be them or that they have the power to change this. Somebody with a personality disorder has this risk-taking capacity where they engage in dangerous, risky, and potentially self-damaging activities unnecessarily and without regard to consequences, and they lack concern for one's limitations and denial of the reality of personal danger. Again, this risk-taking and impulsivity, it's a dangerous combination. You meet somebody at a bar, you think you're in love with them. After 5 minutes of meeting them, you're going to go home with them, and you have no idea who they are. This is a very dangerous situation. And for somebody with borderline personality disorder, I was just going with my feelings. I knew with my gut that that's what was good. I felt that that was perfect. Remember, situations can be all good or all bad. This is a challenging, challenging combination. Now, why is it so hard? Because you're thinking, gosh, I really want to help this person out. They're not seeing things. How can we get them to see things? How can we get them to a point where they recognize that what they're doing might be toxic and not helpful? Well, here's the thing. You might want to go up and let them know and say, hey, I want to help you out. I don't think that you're seeing how your life is going or the decisions you're making, how that's affecting things. Let me help you out. So why isn't that possible? One, remember, they don't have insight. So they're not going to recognize it. You might tell them that and they might say, no, I don't see that. I don't think I need help. So that's one of them. But here's the other big problem. A huge trait is antagonism, hostility, persistent or frequent angry feelings, anger or irritability in response to minor slights and insults. If a person with borderline personality disorder feels like you are insulting them in any way whatsoever, whether it's real or perceived, you might not be trying to insult them, they immediately will have a hostile response. They will get angry, they will have hurt feelings, and they will lash out at people. And this is where it can be very, very challenging. Imagine you come up to somebody and say, you know what, I think things aren't going well for you. I want to help you out. I think that you're, you know, getting into these relationships that are very risky, and, you know, I worry about your safety. And all of a sudden they feel like you are telling them that they're bad, that they are not a good person, because this is how they're going to interpret it, that they make mistakes all the time, and they will respond with anger and hostility. That's very classic borderline personality disorder, and that's where it can get really challenging. Why would I want to help somebody who's just going to yell at me or get angry at me or assume that I am all bad? It can be very, very tricky. You're walking that fine line, and you're saying, no, I really want to help them out, but that's obviously not where they are at or where they function. All these traits together make it a very challenging situation. Well, Dr. Sandoval, is there any help for somebody who is experiencing borderline personality disorder? In a way, yes, there is. You can take them to therapy, and there is something called dialectical behavioral therapy. Now, DBT, as they call it, dialectical behavioral therapy. The goal of this therapy is really to hopefully help somebody recognize that when they react with intensity, or when they feel slighted, or when they feel upset, or when these emotions are very, very intense for them, they don't have to turn to thoughts of suicide, of ending their life, of needing to react. It's more than anything else, learning how to process those emotions, learning how to process those feelings. It can be very hard to do that. It can be very challenging to do that. And because the person, again, has to recognize to begin with that there is a situation there that they can improve on, or that they might be causing problems overall. Now, who would experience borderline personality disorder? Somebody who experienced trauma as a child, sexual abuse, somebody who experienced emotional abuse as a child. Any of these things can lead to this dysregulation of emotions and behaviors. Unfortunately, there is no medication treatment. So you can try to prescribe medication for somebody with borderline personality disorder, and you think, oh, there's got to be a pill for everything. Not for personality disorders. We haven't found anything yet that will help to quell the emotional roller coaster ride. DBT is the best bet in terms of going out there and trying to say, hey, life doesn't have to be as intense. Now, we're talking about these traits, but let me give you a real life example of somebody I saw in the emergency department one time. It was a lady, maybe about 30 years old, in her 30s, shall we say, and she was in a relationship. She wasn't married. She was living with her boyfriend, and she came to the emergency department. I happened to be working at the hospital at the time, and I got a call because they said, hey, Dr. Sandoval, there is somebody here who wants to end their life, and they need to speak to psychiatry. So, of course, I go over there, and this was in the wee hours of the morning, maybe 2 o'clock, anywhere between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, kind of a quiet time of day. It wasn't entirely a fast night at the hospital. It was okay. And I get there, and, you know, for the most part, the emergency department was pretty calm, except for one room where somebody was yelling at a security guard, and the security guard was at the door, and they were telling him to go away. And so I thought, ah, there's my patient. Sometimes you walk in and you realize, I think I know where I'm supposed to go. So I get to the room and I talk to the security guard, and, you know, obviously he's there because whenever somebody says that they want to end their life or whatnot, we put them on security protocol. So somebody has to be there to just watch and make sure that they're not going to hurt themselves. I get to the room and I, you know, walk in cautiously. And of course, she was angry at me. She had not met me. She did not know who I was, other than I was a physician at the hospital. And I could already sense, remember, we said that there's a lot of hostility and antagonism. And I walked in and she was very angry, did not know me. She told me to get out and that I wasn't there. You know, what was my purpose? That I wasn't going to help her, that nothing could get better. And I let her know kindly that I couldn't leave because I was there for a purpose. My job was to help her out and to see, you know, and that she came in for a purpose. She came to the emergency department of her own volition because she was very upset. So we were glad that she came in, saying she wanted to end her life. As we got to talking, initially she said she didn't like me because I reminded her of her boyfriend for whatever reason. Maybe I looked like him, maybe my mannerisms or something along those lines. And she didn't want to talk to me because I couldn't help her and I was just going to hurt her feelings as well. So I told her, well, you know, I can appreciate that you're upset, but we just met. You don't know me and I don't know you. And really our relationship is nothing more than a doctor-patient relationship. And I just need to figure out why you feel like you want to end your life. And she said, okay. So we got to talking a little bit and it turned out that she said that she didn't feel her boyfriend cared about her or loved her. And I said, why is that? And she said, well, you know, I was, he came home from, you know, from, it was the evening, he came home and he didn't even pay attention to me. And I had put a gun, he owned a gun. And she said, I put his gun on the coffee table and I laid out the bullets next to the gun. And I was sitting there crying and he walked in and he just walked upstairs and he said, hello, but he walked upstairs and he didn't care about me or what I was doing. Well, a lot of questions came to mind here. And I said, let's back up a little bit. So, you know, where's his gun now? And she said, oh, he has it. And I said, okay. And I said, are you worried that he's going to use it or has he ever harmed you? Is there any violence in the relationship? She said, no, absolutely not. She said, it's just emotionally violent because he doesn't care about me. I said, well, what made you take out the gun and put the bullets out that way? What, you know, were you, did you really feel like you want to end your life? She said, I don't know that I want to end my life. She said, but I needed to let him know that I was there, that I was feeling dead inside, and he didn't recognize that. I said, well, you know, that's kind of an intense way to send your message. I said, why were you feeling so dead? Why, what was going on? She said, you know, when he left from the house this morning and he said goodbye, he didn't hug me the right way. I said, he didn't hug you the right way. And she said, yes. And he hurt my feelings. I said, well, what do you think now, though? Why didn't he pay attention to you? She said, well, it's not the first time I do it. I do this all the time. I put the gun out there all the time and he ignores me. So intense relationships, we were able to help her out. We got her in the hospital. She improved her relationship. She went to therapy. But just to give you an idea, borderline personality disorder can be hard. Pray for your loved ones. Get them therapy. Get them help. And always try to keep everything Catholic.